Hi, I'm Jenny Copeland.
And I'm Farrison.
And we're co-authors of Drive Through Success. Okay, welcome to another episode of Drive Through Success. I'm Gary Holton and I'm here with the lovely Jenny and the lovely Vary. We're very grateful for you joining us today. I hope you had an amazing summer. There's still a little bit of summer left to go, hopefully. So today we are going to be talking about how being successful is easy, which is a bit of a statement, I would say, and setting daily goals that take you towards your vision. And I'll be honest, setting goals and being aware of my daily successes is not something I do consistently at all. So I don't think I'm alone in that, am I? Or am I?
Good morning, Gary. And yep, I've had a lovely summer. Thank you very much.
Good.
For once, the yellow ball in the sky in Scotland was actually warm, which was wonderful. So is being successful easy? Well, we opened the book with the first chapter of being successful is easy, because actually so many people aren't aware of what they're trying to achieve, and therefore they don't really know if they're being successful or not. And in the absence of a goal or a purpose or a vision, then how can you organise yourself to have daily goals? Because anything you do on a daily basis is going to take you somewhere. It just may not take you where you want to be.
Yeah.
So the two things align really nicely. And clearly what we do is we try to share and promote ideas and concepts that work. And success, I guess, is as much an inside job as it is an outside job. So what we think about ourselves and what we think about who we are and what we're trying to achieve is as important as what we do. Hence, the start of the whole journey is, you know, I suppose in the drive-through analogy, you wouldn't get in your car and start a journey without being clear about where you're trying to get to. Because otherwise you would just waste that petrol and drive around in circles and have no reference point for, is this a good journey or a bad journey? Vary, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think the whole idea that success, I guess, is a feeling, you could argue, and you know, as opposed to trying to define it in another way. And I think that's something that most people struggle with the most when they first start on a journey like this, or when they first start doing personal development work, is they don't have any idea what success means to them. So definitely the book and Drive Through Success is a really good way of actually asking you questions, specific questions, so that you can help define for yourself what success means to you. Because loads of people that I've spoke to about the book and about this kind of thing have been like, I just don't really know what I want. I love all the ideas. I think it sounds really good. I'm like all like fired up, but I don't know what I want. And I think that's where doing the exercises so that you can look at yourself and look at what success does mean to you is really helpful. Also, it's like, it doesn't have to be something huge. And I think that's the big misconception that people often have, is that it should be like a massive career goal or something like that. But it can be small things. And in fact, I think it's really helpful to start with small things, so that you just get into that habit of making a goal and ticking it off the list. And then you get that feeling of achievement and success, however big or small it is. So definitely in starting doing the book, that was a good thing for me, was to be really clear about what it was that I did want. And a lot of these things, you know, they don't have to be super serious or fixed. You know, you can change your mind as you go along. Every few months, probably your definition of success and your goals may change. And that's absolutely okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're constantly changing, and you're evolving through the process.
Yeah, I kind of totally agree with you. I think there is a difference between maybe the person starting out on this journey and taking the first step, and ensuring that the process, the steps, the thinking are tangible, doable, and therefore you do it. I think the saddest thing in the world is where people come across a philosophy or a process and it's brilliant and it's the answer, and then they just don't do it.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, you kind of say, how are you getting on? You know, how successful are you being? And the person says, well, it's not working for me. You say, okay, that's a real shame. So tell me, what have you been doing? So, well, I actually haven't been doing anything. You know, I read the book and it's not working. Or, you know, or I went to that lecture, or, you know, whatever engagement with, because it's not just, you know, it's not all about this one book. And I think the other thing, when Vara was chatting there, I think the other thing that struck me is that, you know, so why do so many people, I've been coaching now for 20, 25 years. And even now, my opening question to people is, what do you want? You know, describe for me what you're trying to achieve. Now, that might be because they've got a problem at work and they're not happy at work. It might be that things aren't, you know, things aren't as good at home as they'd like them to be. Or it might be that they are at a crossroads and they're doing that kind of big life-changing thinking. But my starting point is always, so what would good look like? What would, you know, what are you trying to achieve? What would happy mean for you, or success mean for you? And I'd say 98, 99% of the time I'm met with blank faces. People do not genuinely think about what it is they're trying to achieve. They tend to be quite focused and stuck in their, they're experts at talking about the problem. They're experts at talking about what isn't working or what's causing them pain and hurt. And I guess there is something around, many of us have grown up being told what we can't have, being told to stop being, you know, stop daydreaming, stop pipe dreaming, yeah. Stop, you know, stop living in fantasy land and join the real world.
Yeah.
And I guess we've been conditioned to expect the worst, to believe life is hard, to believe, you know, you have to expect your fair share of failures before you can have any success. And so why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we not think about good things? Why wouldn't we, you know, remain where we are? Because it's easy, you know, it's easier to wake up every day and be stuck and have loads of reasons / excuses as to why that is, than it is to wake up every day and think, I've got a chance to make a difference today. And actually, if I can achieve these one or two tiny actions in my to-do list, which I know Vari and Gary do every day because, you know, they're working the system. But Gary's already said that he's not doing that every day. So, you know, being successful is easy if you actually work the process.
So where do you start though? That's the thing, because most people, you know, I mean, being successful is easy, it is quite a statement. So, you know, and I don't consistently do a to-do list and consistently think about my goals. And I recognize that in myself, but a lot of people will be out there and not really know, you know, what small steps to take at the beginning that will then end up with them.
And I love the fact that you're saying consistently. So
I'm consistently saying consistently.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of it's like Dr. Heal Thyself. So I kind of discovered this stuff, I guess, you know, probably about 30, 40 years ago. And when I was at my peak, absolute peak, probably about 15 years ago, I was kind of so successful at that moment in time. I stopped doing the daily routines because I suppose it's a bit like taking, you know, medication for something that, you know, you go to the doctor and you're in acute pain. I've done this as well, you know, for back pain. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, right, if you take these tablets 3 times a day, the pain will disappear. So you do. And the pain disappears. And after about 7 days, you think, I don't need those tablets anymore. So you stop taking them.
Yeah.
And guess what? The pain comes back. You know, unless you've done something different to cure the pain will come back.
Yeah.
And I think it is the same with these processes and actions and steps. Mm. So you're saying consistently. Mm. I mean, that's such a key part to this,
is
that consistency. You asked what are those kind of component elements? Mm. And I'm going to carry on with your C. So I think there is something around clarity. So the starting point, and I will let Vari cut in here in a second. She's desperate to, I can see. So clarity of who am I, warts and all. What's working in my life? What's not working in my life? And then what do I want? So that real, you know, that real clarity stuff, that honesty, and that kind of links a bit to the congruence piece. So, and Vari's already alluded to this, is that, you know, for some people's success, if you're in that deep well, and, you know, you might even be clinically depressed, but if you're in a really bad place, success on a day to, you know, success on day one will be get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, sure. It'll be set an alarm and stand up.
Yeah.
Because, and we've all been there, you know, I've been there where you open your eyes and the thought of actually standing up and having a shower is so overwhelming. You just pull the quilt over your head or you turn the telly on. So every day success might mean something different. You know, yeah. Vari's absolutely right. But it is a virtuous spiral upwards, you know, so day one, you get up, your alarm goes off, you get up, you have a shower. Day, or maybe you just get up. Day two, you have the shower. You know, day three, you go downstairs by 10 o'clock. You know, day four, it's 9 o'clock. You know, and you kind of just build up some habits that get you moving and get some momentum, and take you towards what it is you're trying to achieve. So for some people, it'll be leave the house and talk to people. For other people, it'll be apply for a new job and get promoted. For some people, it'll be make the first million. It's up to individuals to decide. There's no judgment in any of that. And that final C, so you know, clarity of what you want, and I think congruence about who you are and being true to yourself, because this is about you, this is about I and personal responsibility. And then the final bit is confidence and belief that it can be different. It will be different.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's going to make it different is me. You know, nobody else is going to come in and you know, well, you know, my husband could come in and take a shower on my behalf, but I'm still going to be laying in bed smelly and dirty. So that final bit of the confidence that says, actually, and the belief, if I can just do this for today, the confidence that it will, you know, each day will add together and it'll get you to where you actually want to be. Sorry, Vary, you're desperate to come in there.
No, it's fine. I was just also going to add, so like I think I did kind of say a bit about it earlier, but I think the thing that I did like about the book as well is it's not just about these very practical physical things as well. It's about how do I want to feel as these things are happening. So definitely that was a big eye-opener for me, because I'd probably been very focused on, because I'm naturally quite ambitious, on actually achieving things.
Yeah.
But it's really important as well to know how you want to feel when these things are happening, because otherwise things could happen and you can end up achieving things, but you don't recognize that you've achieved it. You don't celebrate the fact that you've achieved it. And therefore, you know, is that success?
Yeah.
So I think that's where I was talking about success as a feeling, is you have to feel successful for it to be of benefit to you. And that can actually be more about how you feel as these things are happening than actual the things themselves.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the whole point about the daily goal setting, you know.
I have to, just apologise, because obviously someone's goal this morning is to hoover the carpets whilst we're recording. So,
she'll take that off the list.
Yeah, take it off the to-do list. No.
So this whole thing about, you know, goals versus no goals and commitments versus no commitments, and you know, just listening to what you're saying there, Vari, if I don't have a goal to go swimming or to go to a yoga class or to, you know, walk 10,000 steps, then even if I do those things, how, you know, it's almost like, how will I know I've achieved something?
Yeah.
Because if I don't write it on my to-do list, I'll do it and it'll be fairly organic. Whereas if I do write it on my to-do list and I do it, it's like working your muscle in the gym. You know, it's like, I've done it. I've put that set in, achievement.
Yeah. But also be focused on how you're feeling as you do it, so that you're experiencing it as you do it. Otherwise, you know, it's not just about, oh, like, I'm going to go swimming, go to the gym, do this, da-da-da-da,
yeah.
Tick all that off, and then you're not actually there experiencing the things while you're doing them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just in case some people are listening and thinking, right, I just need to do loads of stuff and tick it off.
Yeah.
That's where I'm kind of emphasising on, it's about how you're feeling as you're doing it.
So while we take a break from the podcast, I thought it'd be useful to take some time to just reflect on some positive affirmations that will help set up our energy and get us in that place for really attracting all the things and conditions we need to be successful. So just sit back and relax. If you're driving, it's fine. You can just listen to these affirmations and build them into your daily routine. So I commit to my personal success for today and the future. I experience abundance, health and happiness in all I do. I am happy because I choose happiness.
I am healthy because I eat healthy foods and choose activities that help to keep me healthy and vital. I am abundant because I am a child of an abundant universe. I focus on the things I want and I do all I can with the resources I have to make my dreams come true. I am grateful for what I have now, yet I am confident that my goals and dreams are in the process of manifestation. I love myself. I approve of myself. I forgive others for actions that have harmed me. I forgive myself for harming others and myself, even when I don't know that I have.
I trust that I am loved and supported by the universe. I also trust that everything is exactly as it should be at this moment in time, even though there are times I find it difficult to comprehend why. I accept my role in my life is to be clear as to what I want, to do all I can now to help myself, and to be open, willing and active in the recognition and acceptance of my gifts as they are manifested. All is well in my world. Thank you, Universe. And you can find that on page 45 of Drive Through Success.
So you were talking, I mean, what you were saying there, was it about the visualization side of it when you were talking about how it feels? Because people do or have got vision boards or have got things where they've written down their goals. But I mean, how can you make sure that you are recording or understanding how you are going to feel about something? There must be a way of setting yourself a goal to feel.
Well, I do it every morning. Oh, so part of, like, it is in the book, part of the daily routine is writing things that you're grateful about, but also writing how you want to be during the day. So that's much more for me about how I want to feel. And that was a major shift for me in terms of, before I would just write things that I wanted to do, but not thinking about how I wanted to feel. So, you know, it's like you're going to work. Definitely with work, this helps loads. Because for a lot of people, including myself, work is sometimes very tedious, or it can be. Most of us have really, you know, full jobs where we're trying to do loads of stuff. They might not necessarily be the jobs that are fulfilling your purpose in life as you see it. But if you choose to look at it differently and say, well, what is the best out of this day that I can get in terms of how I feel? So it changes your perspective on just getting through a to-do list. Gets you maybe thinking about your colleagues that you work with, how you want to relate to them. You know, you want to have fun, you want to be focused, you want to be productive, still those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're never going to sit down and write, I want to be stressed, miserable, be
sorry, I'm just crossing them off my list today.
I just want the day, because most of us just want the working day to get in as quick as possible. But you're then missing out on a huge part of your life, because you're focusing on the end of that day, when actually there are loads of opportunities to enjoy parts of your work, maybe not all of it, but there are always opportunities to actually feel differently about what you're doing.
Have you seen the film About Time? Have you seen that?
Is that the one with
it's the one.
Bill Nighy?
Yes.
Yes, I love that movie.
And I like the ending of that movie, because he's able to, it's like a family thing through the generations that they're able to go back in time. Have you seen it, Jenny?
No, I don't know.
It's really good.
But I like the end of that film, because what it ends up being, without going through the whole movie, is he turns around and says that you should live every single day as if you've already lived it, and you've done the bad version of it. It's the you live it as if it's the good version of the day, because he gets the chance to be able to go back in time, have a rubbish day, and then have the same day again, but learn on the mistakes that he made.
That sounds fabulous.
I really like that film.
And that's another thing that I write in my gratitude diary is thanks for being me in this life, because it's about feeling that you would choose this life and you would choose being you. And I think if you can really believe that, then that to me is success. Whatever it is that you're doing.
And we're kind of, you know, it's these conversations and podcasts, if only they they would go on forever. Because we can go off into so many different angles and tangents. I guess I'm going to do the sort of the technical explanation piece, because everything Vari's saying is absolutely right. But it's the why. You know, it's great to have the habit, the routine. It's great to do it. But I guess what I've learned is, unless you understand why you're doing it, a bit like the medication story, then when things are going really well, you just stop, because you don't realise, or you don't fully appreciate that it's the habit that you've developed that's getting you that success, it's getting you that feeling, it's getting you that virtuous, you know, upward spiral. So, so I'm a re-engineer. I kind of constantly re-engineer things. It's my crazy creative brain. And Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, his premise was start with the end in mind. And for the first five years of my coaching, absolutely start with the end in mind. And I would work with people to say, you know, visualize it, think about it, you know, and all this language is about being in the head. See it how you would want it to be. And I kind of woke up one day and realized that we don't manifest from our heads. We manifest from our being. From our energy, from our heart, from our soul, and without getting too woo-woo and esoteric about it. So now I've kind of borrowed Stephen Covey's, thank you very much, Stephen, and added to it to say, end with the start in mind, but start with the end in heart. And we create from the heart. So that's why, you know, we create from fear, we create from love. And again, you know, Vari was giving some beautiful examples there of when we start our day. If we start our day with a to-do list, we can very easily go into overwhelm, anxiety, fear, stress. How have I got enough time? When will I do it? What order will I do it in? What if I don't get it all done? If I don't get it all done, then I'm a failure. So the to-do list, although it's a fabulous tool for getting jobs done, can also be a horrible, messy, big stick that we can beat ourselves up with. So, but it is important, it is powerful, and I absolutely advocate for a to-do list. However, when we balance that with the to-be list, and Vari's absolutely right, I never sit and write, you know, I want to be grouchy and grumpy and shout at the kids. So when we're writing our to-be list, and our to-be list is coming from a place of ease, joy, I want to be joyful, I want to be relaxed, I want to be fun, I want to be compassionate, we're not only, we're coding our subconscious to say, this is the energy that I want to be in today. And it's about getting us on that vibration. And then, you know, skip to chapter 15. But we are all about energy. We are all about vibration. And this then starts lending itself to that law of attraction thing. So when we set ourselves up to be positively expectant and we leave the house or we're in the house and our energy is in that positive place, we will attract the conditions to help us do that to-do list.
Yeah.
So we will go into the office and our expectation is that we can get the stuff done quickly, easily, joyfully.
You know.
And mine always has with fun. Have a laugh.
Me too, yeah.
And it flows.
Yeah. And what I've found, especially about work, is, see, if you really think about it, most of the time, unless you're having a really, really bad day, most of the time you get the same amount done, whether you're having a good positive mental day or a bad mental day.
Yeah.
If you actually look back at it, you do, but your experience of that day is completely different.
Yeah.
You won't see that you have done the same.
I'd argue that you get more done.
Yeah, you know? I think you do.
I think when you're in that positive flow, I think that's where the sort of the magic and the miracle start to happen because things just, you know, things happen and with ease. And I think when you're in the flow, you know, it's like a bit like spinning plates, but when I'm in that high productivity vibe, I can have about six things on the go at the same time and they all get done.
Yeah.
When I'm in a funk, you know, and Fari laughs about my funk, you know, but when I'm in a funk, my brain, you know, anxiety constricts. It constricts the blood flow to the brain and the oxygen to the brain. So the more funky we are, the less capable we are, we're less creative. Yeah. You have to make a phone call and you look at the phone and you're thinking, oh my God, what are they going to say? And it's going to be awful. And either you don't make the phone call, driven by fear, or you make it on the basis of, oh, you know, I know this is really difficult and I'm not sure you can help me and I don't even know why I'm phoning you. You know, you're setting up the whole phone call for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get back? You get back somebody saying, yeah, you're right, I'm the wrong person. You know, donk. And then you're going to go, oh, that was a waste of time. Whereas when you're in that vibe and positive flow, you know, you can pick the phone up and you can say, I'm starting with you. I'm really hopeful that you're going to be able to help me. This is my issue. Can you sort this for me or can you redirect me? And people love that, you know. Yeah. People want to help.
Yeah, people respond.
Yeah, people want to be really helpful.
Yeah.
And ironically, you know, they want to help people who are, you know, congruent, have clarity about what they're trying to achieve, and have a sense of confidence that you are the right person to help me. It's magical, really. It's not. It's scientific, but the experience of it is magical.
Certainly, much better for relationship building being like that than it is.
Oh, totally.
When you're in a.
Totally. And
what's,
you know,
what's the opposite to funk, by the way? Is it, is there a word for the opposite of funk?
Ease and flow and joy.
Yeah.
You know, ecstasy.
Vibing.
Vibing. Being in the vibe. And if you go back into the car metaphor, you know, if you get in the car and you've got your bag of sweets and you've got the right sounds on and you've planned your journey, planning, you know, I guess some of this is we're talking about is planning. In when I do presentation skills training, you know, I always say we do three things. We do three presentations, we do three meetings, we do three of everything. We do three meals out, you know, with your partner. And you do the one that you visualise, the one that you think about and you dream of and you plan for. We do the reality of what actually happened, and then we do the one we wish it had been. Which is a bit like your film.
Yeah.
Difference is in life you don't get to go back and rewind
it.
And therefore the more of that planning and preparation and visualization that you do, the closer the experience is to how you hoped it would be. And then when you review it and you kind of go the one you wish you'd done, it's like, well, you know, actually that was a really great night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not much I'd change there.
But the only thing I would add to that is focus on how you want to be as opposed to
absolutely.
Like setting unrealistic expectations.
Mm. Vari.
Well, yeah.
If I could lean across and give you a good sweat now.
One of your chapters is expectations leads to disappointment. So what I mean by that is,
okay,
if you have expectations from other people and from something that are high, but at the same time, you don't actually believe they're going to happen. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. I'm probably not explaining this really well, but I think most of our disappointment comes from expectations
of others.
Of others and external situations.
Yeah.
So that, I guess you're right, that's what I'm trying to say is you can't, don't have the expectations about that.
Yeah.
It should be about
you know, interestingly, I'd kind of, it's a bit like tennis, isn't it? It's a bit like philosophical tennis here because I, you know, there's a chapter in the book that says expectation can lead to disappointment. So you know, if I give you a bunch of flowers on the expectation that you're going to be gushing and really grateful to me, and then in a week's time you're going to give me flowers back, it's my expectation of what I expect from you that's going to lead to my disappointment.
Yeah.
So I would kind of, you know, what comes up for me, Vari, is something that you talk about a lot, which is about, you know, detachment.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to visualize this great night with my partner, and my expectation is that it's going to be a fabulous night, and it's going to be great food, and it's going to be great service, and we're going to have a lovely evening, then I guess what I'm kind of focusing on is the fact that it's okay to have all of those expectations. However, if you arrive at the restaurant and your table's been given to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
it's your response to that
that
will make the evening wonderful or crappy, you know. Yeah. And if you know, so on the times when I've rocked up and the table's been given to somebody else and I start to kick off, it's not because the table's been given to somebody else that's the problem.
It's because you're
my reaction to it, you know, and then I've ruined the evening.
Yeah, but I'd just say, see, in the beginning when I was doing this, I think I was picking something up wrong that other people might about the visioning, because it's very easy to think, and that I started doing that, like pre-scripting everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go here, it's going to be this and it's going to be that. But probably focusing on external events and people, and therefore there is the scope for you to be disappointed, because I think that's one of my biggest things. As I am disappointed a lot.
Well, okay. I guess we need to work on that.
Yeah. But, or have been in the past, but because of expectations, because I have unrealistic expectations of other people and of circumstances, because I'd be sitting daydreaming about something before it happens and have this whole idea in my head of how it's going to go. And it hardly ever turns out that way for various different reasons. But as you say, it is your reaction to that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, some people who start this in the beginning, like me, will think that you can prescript a whole set of events and that that is how it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be disappointed if it doesn't turn out in exactly that way.
And I guess, so this is like the personal development cop-out, isn't it? And it says, you know, I'd rather live my life expecting it's going to happen, and then when it doesn't, reflect on why didn't that happen for my highest good. Isn't that a fabulous cop out? You know, everything is good. So, and you know, I've taught myself now to sit in traffic jams and to be really grateful for the delay.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, anybody that knows me will know that I was, you know, the most vicious driver in the world.
So I'm just writing this down. Be grateful for the delay. Okay.
No, totally, because God forbid, you know, if that delay wasn't there, I could be in a fatal car crash.
Mm.
And I know that's kind of sounding a bit, you know, like how far do you have to stretch this before you get to a good thought? But there are car crashes.
Mm.
You know, there are other drivers on the road who are not being mindful and thoughtful. And sometimes, you know, I live in Scotland and we've got lovely country lanes, and there are people who drive at kind of 40 miles an hour or 30 on these country lanes. And if I'm not congruent, you know, if I'm not really owning me, I can get super angry and even tempted to do some really dangerous overtaking. And it's, you know, it's writing a kill me in a car crash check.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can just kind of catch myself and say, do you know, thank you for the opportunity to save some petrol, to look at the lovely countryside, to drive at a reasonable pace. I'm going to get there anyway.
So I'm just visualising my wife sat next to me going, to me right now. So this is all good. It's all good.
Well, yeah. You know, it's like, and isn't it amazing when you do that, you know, when you do that kind of overtaking and shooting off at, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour in the 60 zone, and then you hit the junction and then the car behind poodles up at 30 miles an hour, you know, and they're completely calm and relaxed and you're kind of like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
but all of these are metaphors for life.
Yeah,
you know, and I, yeah. And I guess the point Vara is making in all of this is that actually it's more about how are we being in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, sorry, because I think I sound like Mrs. Doom and Gloom, but the biggest killer is stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the moment, so much of society is living a life of pure 100% adrenaline rush stress.
Yeah.
And I'm probably 2 years out of recovery from adrenal burnout. So, you know, 2 years ago, I kind of woke up and I genuinely felt like I'd been hit by a bus. And the daily routine was categorically part of my recovery from total adrenal burnout.
And when you say adrenal burnout, is that stress related?
What, totally. What,
So were you this person? You know, were you stressed at work, stressed at home, or just?
Oh, stressed everywhere.
Stressed everywhere.
So, you know, so three children, each child with their own set of challenges. Some of them more extreme than others. You know. Post-credit crunch, managing finances, at work, as you can imagine, constriction of headcount, budget cuts, but still expected to do the same or more. So being a kind of a natural high achiever, and we actually got some therapy around this time because we needed to, and what became evident was that I was living in this Disney expectation, and now the kids kind of remind me when I'm being a bit too Disney-esque. So, you know, so when you're living this stuff, I guess you can get a bit kind of caught up in the idea of perfection.
Yeah.
And high standards, and everything has to be just right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it's not, you know, it's like playing a violin, the strings are so tightly wound that anything that doesn't work out creates this kind of, you know, reaction and this tension. So there was no doubt I was absolutely playing my part in the whole mix of what was wrong. And the result was adrenal burnout. I was living on adrenaline. I'd been living on adrenaline for probably about 10 years and didn't have any balance in my life. So do I still live on adrenaline now? Yeah, a little bit, I think. I think it's what gets me up and going. It gives me an edge. But now I have balance. You know, I have Vari in my life. I have yoga. I have not so much meditation. I do flow dreaming. Mm. Summer McStravick's flow dreaming. So it's a variation of meditation. It works for me, you know, high energy meditation kind of thing. And recommitting to my own medicine, you know, my own disciplines, my own principles, my own exercises, and recommitting to the process. And you know, 2 years, life is back to the way how it should be.
Mm. I mean, I must admit, I mean, I didn't know that's how you, because, you know, having known you for a while now, what wouldn't have, you know, because you don't seem to be a stressed person at all. Quite the opposite, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay. I've seen the stress.
Okay, all right. No, fair enough. So it is there, but...
We all do, obviously. But yeah.
I'm nodding.
Yes.
Silently.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, part of the other thing is stress is such a bad rep that we kind of think that we should eradicate it from our lives completely. But it's not about that, because actually... a little bit of that kind of stuff is actually good for us in the sense that it does get you doing things.
Yeah.
It's necessary, otherwise...
It's natural as well, isn't it?
It's natural,
Fight or flight kind of...
Yeah, the problem is we become very disassociated between what is fight or flight and what is not. Yeah. And then we end up living, as Jenny probably was, in a state where it's fight or flight all the time.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, that puts your body under a great amount of pressure, and you never actually feel any peace or calm. And that is where, you know, physically your body will just start to deteriorate, and your experience of life will be pretty crap.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here being a bit reflective, and I think where I got to was that the gap between cause and effect had got so narrow.
Yeah,
so you know, so if I was talking to, let's say, you know, a potential coaching client, you know, the expectation at the end of the conversation, the person would make a decision. So, you know, it kind of just robs you of that opportunity to be gentle and in the flow and non-attached, you know, take away the attachment of, rather than just chatting to somebody about current circumstances, and, you know, maybe that will turn into a coaching relationship, maybe it won't, and it's fine either way.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, and I kind of like think, you know, you would take a cup of coffee up, you know, to my husband in the morning, and the expectation of that person's response to that, of being, you know, gushingly grateful, you know, oh my God, you made me a coffee, thank you so much. And, you know, so, you know, you put the coffee down and of course they're asleep, and you're standing looking at them asleep, getting angry because they haven't gushed gratitude in that moment. You know, but this is the kind of the crazy perversion that your brain gets into.
Yeah, when you're not aware of what it's doing.
Totally.
So that is part of what this is doing. It's a lot of what you do in yoga is stopping and actually looking at what you're doing, what your brain is doing, and realising that there is, you know, that you have an influence on that, that to a large extent you are doing all of these things. You're creating the thoughts. Those thought patterns are things that have come from negative thoughts, but if they repeat over a long period of time, then they become habits. You know, we have terms for them in yoga, but they become very deep rooted in your mind, behavior patterns that become very hard to get out of. But that is basically what the likes of Drive Through Success is doing. A lot of other personal development books, you know, that is what they're doing, is teaching you to look, recognize these patterns in your brain, and then go back and try and undo them, if you like, and then replace them with a different system. You could argue the 12 steps is the same premise, a different way of programming your brain to look at your life differently, so that you can experience it with calm, with peace, with serenity, and come out of that whole stressful existence that so many of us in the West have just found ourselves in, because we're not aware. We don't know we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're not aware that we are doing it. We think everything's happening to us, and that is where you end up in that high stress state.
I think it's really worthwhile noticing when you become the person that you hate. You know? And
Speaking
from experience, because, you know, I think, well, I presume that we all live a sort of an idealistic view, you know, we have an idealistic view of who we are,
absolutely,
and of the kind of people who we like to be around, and then we have this sense of the people we don't want to be around. And, you know, I do think I'm inherently Pollyanna, so yeah, I'd like to think I'm inherently Pollyanna, so I do have this kind of default position of positivity and expect the best, and, you know, because I just would rather live my life like that, and therefore I've got antibodies to people who generally see life as, you know, negative and dour, and, you know, are complaining and bitching and that kind of stuff. And I guess, you know, so I guess 2 years ago I kind of became aware of the fact that I was that person, you know, I was that person who was, you know, and poor old Eeyore, he gets a bad rap, does Eeyore, but, you know, I was Eeyore, you know, I was that kind of heavy energy.
Yeah.
I would walk in a room and I would bring the energy down.
Yeah.
It's not my normal default position. However, I guess it's the thing, as far as just said, is living consciously and noticing that that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose illness, dis-ease, is when you don't know that you are that person. You know, you don't have that self-awareness to recognize how far it's gone.
Yeah.
I guess I was really lucky to finally recognize that I, you know, I was in the funk and I'd been in it far too long, you know. So
yeah.
So I guess as women, and you know, as women, I should say those words. So, and every woman listening to this who's maybe, you know, 35 plus, don't underestimate that when the menopause, you know, perimenopausal and the menopause starts to hit, do not underestimate how much of a crazy badass bitch you're going to become. And too many of us realise once we're in the funk, you know, we don't really yeah. notice the conditions on the way in. And, you know, so too many of us are kind of down the well before we realise that there is a well.
Mm.
And I'm just kind of adding that in as a little extra. That'll be, no doubt, that'll be book number two. Recovery from being a crazy badass bitch. But just a detour on that one.
Well, I'm just conscious we're coming to the end of this episode, but I just wanted to, there's just a quick question going back to success is easy around accountability partners, and if you've got any experience of that, and what your feelings are about having other people just to be soundboards, but also to make sure you're kind of doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, I guess when I started working on the book with Jenny, I was really lucky in the sense that I was working through the steps in the book, but I was meeting Jenny every week, so I was accountable to her. She was, you know, my coach during that time, and that was invaluable, because obviously if you know somebody's going to ask you about it at a regular date, then you're going to make much more of an effort to do it.
Yeah.
And it is important that you set yourself goals and that you actually do the work and that somebody is asking you about it. So yeah, I think they're invaluable. If you can get a coach. I know that not everybody can. If not, yeah, get two of you, work through the book, have an accountability partner with someone you know. And yeah, I definitely think it's well worth doing.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of split this into two answers. And the first answer is the magic of doing the first stuff. So creating that vision from the heart in itself is where the magic starts, absolutely no doubt. And my first conscious experience of this was that, you know, I created the vision from the heart. I wrote my to-do list, which was for a whole year, high level objectives, put it in a book, forgot about it. And then, you know, a month before the year was up, found the book, bit of paper dropped out and thought, oh, this is interesting. you know, and reviewed what those goals were and then how I'd achieved against them. And that really was my first wow moment of actually, if you do the visioning and the setting up right, your subconscious will take over and do the action required.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the magic happens in and around you, even without consciously doing the daily stuff. So that's point one. So I know it's a contradiction.
You really just said that.
Yeah, it's a contradiction. It's in the book.
Yeah.
But it goes to the front end of the setup that says you really do have to do that. You've got to want it from the heart
mm-hmm.
sufficiently. And it's you know, it's window one. You're asking, you're giving your
mm-hmm.
you're giving your order to the universe. This is what I want. And then the universe is kind of taking over, universe slash your yeah. subconscious,
but you have
slash
to, you have
inner
to,
being.
You have to believe that it will.
You have to believe. The confidence that it's going to happen.
Yes.
And then fast forward to accountability partners. So knowing that that's going to happen anyway, when you then start doing the, okay, what are the tiny baby step things I can do yeah. this week that are manageable, doable, and probably enjoyable? And if I could do these two things or these three things this week that will take me towards that goal. And when Vari and I were working on the book, you know, Vari was absolutely my accountability partner for Jenny, you will finish that chapter. Jenny, you will proofread this, you know, piece. And there's no doubt having that level of accountability is, it accelerates. So it's like, you know, it's probably a bit like putting premium fuel in your car, you know, and you can kind of keep your foot on the accelerator rather than having either one foot on the brake and one foot on the accelerator. So if you're going to work with an accountability partner, then have clear, actionable, tangible actions that you can do that you are going to hold each other accountable for. Knowing that that's another 152 towards your annual vision, if it's an annual vision.
Okay, well, I think that's probably all we've got time for this episode this week, so thanks very much. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you got something from that. Make sure that if you haven't already, if you've not read the book already, make sure you get onto our website, which is drive-through-success.com, and get yourself a copy. There's various ways of you being able to get a copy. Read the book and take some action. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you for listening to today's podcast, and I hope you found it enjoyable and informative. If you want to connect with us more, you can of course join our Facebook page, Instagram, all on Drive Through Success, and don't forget that hyphen between the drive and the through. Or indeed, you can visit us at our website, drive-through-success.com, and there you can either find different ways to buy the book. You could request a signed copy, and we'd be happy to sign that and send that out to you. And indeed, you can sign up for the weekly guidance letters that come out via email. So once again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.